All right, so welcome back to another episode of Moms and Martinis, where we're creating a safe space to have tough conversations. And this week, boy, let me tell you, this is a tough conversation. The topic that we're covering today is the father effect. I've been met with some challenging times and just not really sure on how to navigate it. So therefore, I had to pull in reinforcement to make sure that I was thinking about things correctly and also just looking at things through a different lens so that I'm not making decisions that could potentially, well, all of it is going to have an impact, but trying to minimize the negative impact as much as possible. So I'm going to pass it over to my guest and allow him to introduce himself.
What's up, y'all? This is Country Boy from the Cut Podcast. You can find us on anywhere that you can anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can locate us. We usually talk about pop culture, whatever's going on in the world. Lately, during the COVID-19, we've been doing a lot of social problems, relationship type issues. But it's been fun. It's been cool, man. And I'm really happy to be here. I think this topic, because I have a little experience with it, it's going to be dope. It's going to be really dope.
All right, good. Thanks so much for joining me, Country Boy. Ooh, let me tell you. Okay. So the father effect, just to give you all some context of what happened. Lately, I've been noticing my son asking me more and more, when am I going to get a boyfriend? Or saying, like, bursting out random, like, I want a stepdad. I mean, it can be random. Like, I walk past him in the living room, or he'll come in my room. Like, when are you going to get a boyfriend? So initially, I was thinking maybe my kids, are seeing me by myself and they want me with somebody. But my daughters are so opposed to this, just based on past experiences. But I still wasn't connecting the dot. Fast forward, their father. I have four children. One is an adult, and then three are home with me, and their father, my ex-husband, took work in Nevada, which he left in September and had been away for a while. And this is coming from my kids seeing him as needed, or every other weekend, every other holiday, every summer, they're always with their dad. So they went from that to not seeing them at all. My son was in football and all of that and going to the Boys and Girls Club, soccer and stuff. But now since we're home, I guess he's just like, I'm in the house with all these women. Like, you need a boyfriend, a husband, somebody.
Somebody relate to.
Somebody, because this not working. So their dad comes back and he comes over. I'm just like, this is a great time. He needs a haircut. Come cut his hair, see the kids, all of that. And I left to go to work to get some equipment. And I come back and my son's like, I want to go live with my dad. Like, we were getting groceries out of the car and he's so like random. He has no sense of timing.
Right,
right. He just comes up to me and just like, I want to go live with my dad. And I'm like, what? So my initial reaction was shock.
Right.
And then my son just kind of shut down at that moment. So I'm like trying to figure out what happened, trying to see if he prompted this conversation. I just didn't know anything.
Right.
I just left it alone. And then later on, my son talks to me about it again and tells me that, he thought I was mad at him. And I'm just like, no, I'm not mad at you. Just trying to figure it out.
Right.
But the more I thought about it, I just figured it was the longing for his father. So that's when I started to like ask other people, like, who's been raised by their dad? I have to understand this to see, because initially I just thought it was something I did.
Right.
Like, why don't you want to live with me? I made this whole, you have to think, he's 9 years old and I'm looking at him like, what did I do? Why don't you want me? it's like, he just like, I just want my dad. Like, so that brings me here to this podcast. Yeah. Like, this is my real life. Like, this happened a few weeks ago.
Right.
So yeah, I need some help.
I see that. It's a lot. That's a lot. It seems like a lot to process. What I think initially though, is that you know, you shouldn't feel like it's a slight not towards you as a parent, as a mother, for him to want his dad. Because, you know, we all provide things. It's a balance. We provide angles and different, what's the word I'm looking for? Different perspective on life and things. Just from the nature of our gender, we're going to view things completely different. So, I mean, just to give a spitball of that, this whole Earl Thomas situation. Earl Thomas got into it with he was cheating on his wife. His wife came by and called him and put a pistol on him. And depending on who you talk to about that, some people are like, yes. And others are like, dude, you know. So just that life lesson right there, you can see how you react to that, what you would tell your son. If your son was even to come, like, I cheated on my girlfriend. What do you say to that? Those things, those life lessons, they're going to be completely different based off of that. And that's why you shouldn't really feel bad about that, because all he wants is for him to spend some time with his dad. And so his dad can show him a different something else, you know, other than being around. I think it's three women in the house.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot for him. So I don't really feel like you should feel like it's a slight. I think you should look at it from a perspective of he just wants something different today, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to be mature about this whole thing.
That's the tough part. The tough part is not to look at it like, mm-hmm. It's me. Like, you personally don't like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So, of course, you all know, the listeners, I went to find some data to support all of this. And a site that I've used before, it's called fatherly.com. And under their health and sciences section, I found an article. It says The Science of Dad and the Father Effect. And this article was outlining that there is data-driven reasons why a kid does better if they have father figures in their lives, not necessarily right. living with the dad, but just the data and science behind right. the importance of a father. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this, and then we're going to jump into a conversation so that our okay. listeners get to learn a little bit more about you.
Okay.
So the father effect is the umbrella term for the benefits of a parental presence. This effect can be numerous when fathers actively participate in family life. There needs to be a minimum amount of time spent together, but the quality of the time is more important than the quantity of the time. Just watching TV together, for example, isn't going to be enough. The impact of fatherhood is not subjective, but an objective and documented phenomenon. Although motherhood has dominated studies of parenting in the past, researchers are learning more about what makes a good dad and how to be a good dad every day. So far, they know that kids who grow up with a present engaged dad are less likely to drop out of school or wind up in jail compared to children with absent fathers or no other male caretaker or role models. When kids have close relationship with father figures, they're less likely to have sex at a young age, intend to avoid high risk behavior, and they're more likely to have high paying jobs and healthy, stable relationships when they grow up. And they also tend to have a higher IQ test score by the age of 3 and endure fewer psychological problems throughout their lives when fatherhood is taken seriously. So I'm like, oh, science is against me too. Not against me, but
not completely.
Yeah. But this, I understand the research, and for this conversation, I do just want to focus on the father-son relationship. Cool. I do have some, another reason why I believe in the science here is because I grew up with my mom. I didn't move with my dad until I was 15, and that was a relationship that took a lot of healing and repair, and I didn't begin to really have a good relationship with my dad until I was 27. So I know the impact it had on me, and that has shaped the way I encourage the relationship that my kids have with their father.
Right.
Also the way that I talk about him with them.
Right.
But that's not being done in return, and we'll talk about that. So that's something that makes me a little bit hesitant.
Right.
So let's just start with you sharing with everyone, how did it come about that you went to live with your dad?
Oh, wow. So my parents got divorced, or they started going that way when my dad left when I was 12. So, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, but previous to that, my parents, they had been rocky for years. It's funny because, like, my entire childhood, I remember them not being on the best of terms my entire childhood. I remember the arguments and all that, and my dad would, you know, he would vent those issues to us. He would come to us and be like, you know, this, XYZ happened, you know. And during that time, he kind of was like, hey, I talked to a lawyer, and what he said the best thing to do to so that he could get custody of us was that to wait till it was three of us, wait till two of us could have a choice. So me and my brother are 1 year apart, and my youngest brother is 7 years younger. So if we all say we want, if me and my middle brothers decide we want to go with my dad, Brandon coming too, little one coming too, right? So he briefed us on this, like, cool, whatever. At the time, and still to this day, my dad, me and my dad are extremely tight, and you know, he's like my best friend. We talk on a regular basis. So I'm like, let's do it. I'm ride or die. Let's go. So come, man, I remember like it was yesterday. One day I went to football practice, and while I was at practice, mm-hmm. at I guess I was 13-ish at the time, 12 or 13. And they went, got a U-Haul truck, and cleaned the house out and left. Mm-hmm. And his lawyer told them that they could not have contact with my mom for like 2 weeks. It's some legal stuff. I don't know. I don't understand it. I just remember that date. And this whole time, so my mom comes home, it's like nothing in the house. Lights have gotten changed over to some of the residents. She don't know where I'm at. We can't call her. Looking at the time, it didn't seem traumatizing. Looking back on it, I'm sure it was extremely traumatizing, especially to my mom. So anyway, my mom finds out about the whole divorce proceedings, all that stuff. She's like, hey, y'all need to come live with me because I'm your mother. This is where you're supposed to go. And so that was the hard part, is explaining to her that, hey, I want to live with my dad, da 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 da. And like I told you before, I kind of feel like we would kind of push that direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, y'all come and stay with me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I had done this on my own accord, if I'd have came up with the same plan, but I think I would have anyway, because like I said, my dad was my best friend. But so she was hurt about the fact that we didn't want to stay with her because she felt like I'm their mother. They're supposed to be with me. We went to go stay with my dad. And I lived with my dad up until I left home at 26. So I know y'all guys are like, 26? Hey, don't judge me. But yeah, so that was for the next, you know, 10, 12 years or so.
Yeah.
I was with my dad.
Yeah. Well, you definitely unpacked a lot in just the impacts of divorce. I know when I divorced their father, the kids were young, and it happened pretty abruptly as well. Just one day he was there and the next day he was gone, and was absent for a while just because of some resentment and things that we were working through, and we were not handling it as best as we could. But once we got back on track, again, that regular visitation and everything, and I really pushed and advocated it for that because of how I grew up.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that he was present and had to get out of my own pettiness. That's, you know, I'm petty. I had to get out of my pettiness to say, okay, what is best for the kids? And in this situation, after I got over my initial shock and having to explain to my son, look, I'm not upset with you. You know, I just have to think about it. And even talking to their dad, just like I'm telling him, there are some things that I'm dealing with. Let me unpack this and just be patient with me. And, you know, let's come up with something in the interim. I'm just not ready to make a permanent decision about, you know, him coming to live with you. I think I would be a little bit more open. However, I tried this before with my oldest daughter.
Right, right.
He straight kidnapped her, you know, and I'm just like, I don't want to hold you to those same standards, but I'm wanting to think like, yeah, we can do a trial run, but how do I protect myself legally as well?
Right, right, right.
And he has to be understanding of that, especially since like we just had a conversation before the whole COVID, how he was saying he needed a break over the summer. And I'm like, you've been gone since September. What do you need a break from? To now, oh, I would really love to get all my kids and have a chance to raise them. I'm like, I'm confused.
Which one is it?
You like, you need a break. Like, so I'm confused. So all of that is playing in my mind, as well as the dynamics that his current wife and I have.
Yeah. And that's tough too, is dealing with other new spouses and step parents and what do you call them and all that stuff, especially for kids who are not adults. So my parents got, when they got remarried or got with other people, we weren't kids anymore. So in my mind, you not my step parent, you nobody, you the person dating my dad, you the person that's married to my mom, you're not my step parent. You pay him. You know what I'm saying? That was her name. You pay him. Like, there's nothing there. But when from a person who might have an opportunity to shape you as a person or could be a father figure in your life. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure the statistics you wrote was not dependent on them being their biological father. That could be anybody. Anybody who was there to be a father figure in your life can help shape you and give you that perspective that you might need. So, you know, I don't feel like, even if you do have a father and you know him, having someone there who can positively affect you, shouldn't be seen as a bad thing, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I wish that my son had more of that. And no knock to the men in my family that are here in Georgia, but I have a small picking of people, and the ones that want to step in, I have to say no because they live by the streets.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You like, let me come and get them. No. You know, so he'd be rolling the blunt at night and popping off guns. Like, no. They get offended, but I'm just like, it's no shade. We'll roll by. You know, I'll see you at the family dinner, but just having you come, and my brother did try. He would come to like the football practices, the football games and things like that. But he would roll up with a pit bull on a chain. So that, you know what I mean? So I'm like,
yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot.
No. Like, no, I love y'all, but no. I'm trying to keep them out of the streets.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you watch, you know, TV shows. I mean, I'm a big into the First 48, stuff like that. And you see a pattern with these shows, and they're a lot of young little black boys. And, you know, I just had a son, and one of the worries when I found out I was having a son, one of the chief worries I had is that this world is not, it's a rough world for little black boys. Mm. It's a rough world for little black boys, and they can be killed in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the advice someone gave me was that being a father, being in his life, being there, being a positive role model significantly reduces those percentages. So just you being there, he's less likely to be a statistic. And that's one of the things that always was positive. Like, yeah, something could happen, but I'm going to be here to try to instill in him good value so he doesn't have to make those mistakes. He doesn't have to make those mistakes. Or at least if he does make mistakes, they're not catastrophic. They're not First 48 level.
Yeah. And that's something I'm glad that you brought up, because my son has went through some things, and how is that? I know sometimes he'd be like, what? When he answered the phone, because at one point I felt so overwhelmed. I'm like, yes, I'm getting child support. Yes, they're going over there, but I'm still doing all of the parenting.
Right.
So even now trying to like co-parent, you know, so I cough about everything. Like, you're not about to stress this out. And even one time the teacher called me, I said, look, he got a daddy. And the name is on there. Stop calling me first. You know what I mean?
One of the things I will say about child support, I'm not going to bash child support at all in this. I'm just saying that one of the things that mentally for guys with child support is that we feel like after we pay child support, that is we out. I didn't pay you. That's my parenting. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do no more after that. Cause you know, you feel like, hey, financially, I gave you money. You know, I get him on, you know, whatever my designated times are, all the stuff in between, that's on your watch.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I don't feel like that's a specific child support issue. I don't really feel like it's a complete custody issue. I feel like it's a mentality that you need to know that you're not a half-time parent, that you a full-time parent who's just not living with their child, and that these things come up, you still need to be there to, you know, provide guidance or whatever, money or whatever. If you know, field trips, or you know, he want to play football and physicals, and you need to pay for that stuff, you still have to do those things. It doesn't go away just because you're paying child support every single month. And honestly, I kind of feel like this might come with maturity and age, being that I'm 39 when I have my kids. So like the things that I would do at 39, I can't say I would have said had the same opinion when I was 19 or 20, even 29. So anyway.
No, I agree with that 100%. In terms of like caring and talking and nurturing and being affectionate, my mom wasn't like that. My mom was a provider.
Right.
She went to work. We had nice clothes, anything we asked for. We were taken care of financially. And I have very small memories of my mom telling me that she loves me. I know she told me, but I don't remember. You know, my dad, on the other hand, always told me, but my dad, even to this day, I am also 39, talks about how he paid his child support. And for me, having children or even like being in relationships, money doesn't entice me because that was what was given to me as a child. Like everyone threw money at me thinking that was, and I had so many other gaps that was there.
Yeah.
And even with the child support order that I get, it's I don't want to minimize it. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful. I'm not minimizing, but it's peanuts compared to what I could have went for. But I was just trying to make a point that it wasn't about the child support for me.
Right.
So I took little, to try to, you know, progress in the divorce and making sure that I had this platform to say, you know, hey, I want you to just be in your kid's life. So it's a little bit tricky in terms of co-parenting and everything. It's just like my son has been through some stuff and I'll call him like, Tag, you're it. Like, I don't know what to say to him. But he's not a talker. He's not a communicator. So I'm just like, now you talk about let him come live with you. I'm nervous.
You know, and we talked about this a little bit, and you might be getting ready to segue into this, but when I lived with my dad, it was, let me just say this. Looking back on it, I don't know if I would have done it quite the same way my dad did, you know, where we were just like a dorm room. Hey, good luck. Y'all good. Let me know if you kill yourself.
I'm a different type of parent. I am a different type of parent. I'm not gonna lie. Certain things I do differently. I don't like babysitting. I can admit that. I don't like watching my kids by myself. Too much pressure. No man does. No man in this room is a good babysitter. I can tell you how every man in this room watches kids. This all we do, we sit on the couch and listen for shit. That's how we watch our kids. Kids do whatever they want when they with dad.
So after we left, my mom started going to church more often. And up until that point, we weren't used to going to church. Not like every single week. We would go, you know, major holidays, Easter, stuff like that. So she decided she was going to take us to church every weekend we were there. So we were going on weekends. We knew we were going to church. If I stayed at home with my dad, I'd have had to go to church. So guess what happened? I stopped going. I got to the point where they couldn't force me to go, where like my little brother or my middle brother had to go, but I didn't have to go. I was like, nah, I'm not going. So what ends up happening is, and I didn't know this at the time, I was being impulsive. I was being a little kid, but it kind of eroded our relationship because I wasn't seeing her. I wasn't going to see her. She didn't see me. She'd asked me to come. I'm like, are you going to church? Yes. Nope. I'm not going. So what ends up happening is I'm not talking to my mom at all. So it ends up being like this hyper masculine environment where it's like, you know, grunting, farting, football, you know what I'm saying? You know, girls stuff, you know, that kind of thing. It was super masculine. I didn't have, there was no balance. If I did something like, not crazy, but I stayed out late on a Saturday because I was at some chick house, my dad would come in and be like, hey, boy, that's my son. You know, see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
That sort of thing. That's no, yeah. There's no like other side of that coin. Everything is all super hyper masculine. And you need that other side. It has to be another perspective. Even when you're raising boys, boys need that feminine touch. It doesn't mean they need to be around, you know, but they need someone to say, okay, you did this. What about the other perspective from this? What about the other person in this scenario?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I mean all this to say that my mom was not, that I didn't talk to my mom when I stopped going for a while, years. For years. And this is where like I know your perspective is going to be different because it's not going to be that way. I had a lot of animosity towards my mom because my parents got divorced and I felt like she was the cause. So I took that and our relationship eroded. And then I took, oh, you're the reason why we got divorced in the first place, to like, I'm not dealing with you no more.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with you anymore. So I didn't talk to her for years. And when I got my wife was the one who was like, why you don't talk to your mom? Why you don't talk to your mom? Why didn't you tell me you had brothers? Because that ended up to the point where I wasn't even talking to my brothers at all. Or I didn't talk about them. We was in the house. We weren't conversed. We'd have like one word sentences. She went a year without knowing I even had a middle brother.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of these are my family issues. We're not going to even take it there. But yeah. All this to say, she helped me mend my relationship with my mom now. So during that time when I was with my dad, I wasn't talking to anybody but him. You know what I'm saying? Like hanging out with my friends. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she didn't really have a role to play. And now when she looks back, she points at that as the reason why you're this way. The reason why you're like that is because you spent, you know, 2 years not talking to me, living with your dad, you know, grunting and farting in football.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see her perspective, and those are some things I'm just like looking into because I was even just talking to him. I'm like, even the kids, when they witness us now, you're like hella uncomfortable around me.
Yeah.
Like we've been divorced now, what, almost 6-7 years? I think July makes 7 years, and I'm constantly trying to usher this open united front that he's just not there. And I'm like, right. How much more patience can I exercise? Because the oldest child that we have together will be 15 this year. Like,
right.
At what point are we going to get it together? And then I have to ask myself, am I measuring this by my own standard? Am I, you know, just looking at things because I want things to happen a certain way. And he knows that about me from our marriage. So what he'll do when he is not, when he wants something, so he'll position something to me. And if I'm not completely on board for it, he always say, oh, it's your way or the highway. And I'm like, it's not that. You know, like I've matured so far from right. The point where times that we were together, we got together, I was 23 years old.
Right.
You know, so, and he was older than me, you know, so I'm just like, I'm not that anymore. And then a part of me too, when I'm thinking about things, is that this whole situation has allowed me to see that there are some other things I need to heal about. Because right. one of the areas that we have in our marriage was, one, I wasn't the best wife. He wasn't the best husband. But I remember, like, he could not say anything nice about me. Nothing nice. He, you know, it wasn't, he thought I was just a horrible person and vocalized that. So now that we're divorced and I have matured in so many ways and I'm trying to co-parent and we're having these, what I perceive as be mature conversations, something I realized about myself is I'm still looking for this validation for him to say that I'm a good person.
Right.
So now when you like, oh, I really want to raise my son, I'm just like, are your views of me going to be transferred over to him?
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm not over here muddying your name.
Right.
You know?
And we mentioned this a little bit about, I told you when we had the sound test, is that one of the things that I had to grow to learn was that my parents' relationship with each other is not our relationship together. So my animosity, I was carrying my animosity for my mom to my mom about them being divorced, but that doesn't really affect my relationship with my mother. That's a separate thing. And she's still at the end of the day, my mom. And that's one of the things that I've carried with me in my future relationships. And even now, like, of course, you know, I don't expect to get divorced from my wife, but if we were to get divorced, one of the big things is that your mother is your mother. You know, always, I'm not going to down bad talk your mom. And I hope she would do the same about me, because that affects the way you see that parent. I spend a lot of time trying to stick up for my dad to my mom. And how does that help us? You see what I'm saying? How does that help us as a father, mother-son relationship? You see what I'm saying? It made things irreparably worse for you to come and vent to me and for me to be your therapist as your son. I'm going to take that and be like, okay, we're united front against my mom. Now I'm mad at you for that. I'm mad at you because you did this.
Yeah.
You know, that sucks. And on a completely different note, I feel like you need to be united front together. Like you can't we can't have these, you can have disagreements about how to raise kids or how we should handle this. But when we come up to a decision on what we're going to do, you need to be on board with this decision. No matter how you feel about it, to that son, to our son, to our child, you got to be 100% on board with it. So like if you say, oh, well, his grades were bad, he can't play football. No matter how much you want to play football, if that's the agreement that we've come to, you got to be 100% on board. Like, hey, son, you messing up, you can't play. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And if you start to do those sorts of things, you erode not only their development, but you erode your relationship with your co-parent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because now they can't trust you. And now I have another person I'm fighting with.
Yeah. And I've presented that to him before. It's just, I don't know how to break through to make that happen. And sometimes I feel like the effort has been all placed on me. And even my kids have had conversations, because I play the role of the disciplinary and right. I'm trying to get better, but I will say I'm a very strict and rigid parent. Like right. I appreciate structure. No, there are some things that you're going to do, not going to do, you know, I'm old school, but with new school twists, but I'm very much so old school. So with their dad, they always say, my dad is so nice. My dad spoils us. My dad lets us do whatever we want, all these things. So I think they also like fantasize this idea of if I go over there with him, I'm going to have this freedom. Even as simple as stuff is like they have structured bedtimes or times that you can go outside and play and you have to be back in the house or where you're able to go when you are outside. You know, I put parameters around that. But at their dad's house, they get up, they do whatever they want to do. They outside, around the block, around the corner, go, you know, riding the bike to the grocery store down the street, 3 miles down the way. No, we're not doing that over here. So I think that it's like this, damn, she done made me get up. We got to clean up. You know, Saturday morning, they hear that music and I bust in them rooms, like, get on up. They don't have that there. So I think they're just like, I need to get from under this with my mom.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's exactly the same thing. That's exactly what my mom said to us. It's like, I had the structure. He let y'all just do over there, do whatever you want, get up whenever you want. But on the flip side, I feel like having your son with his father may, for like extended period of time, may see or understand why you are the way you are and why things are the way they are. You see what I'm saying? So like, hey, you get up. That might work when you over there for the summer, and you know every day is a Saturday, or you know. But when you're trying to do this over, and you got to go to school the next day, and you don't have a bedtime, and then they're reluctant to get up in the morning, you see the consequences and why things are in place and why that structure is there. Or like, hey, this time is homework time. It's there because you know maybe they struggle with math. You see what I'm saying? You understand it. So I feel like him being a full-time parent may improve your relationship, and maybe he'll understand why things are the way they are, why you do things the way you do, way you do them. He might call you and be like, I get it. I get it. I see.
Yeah. All right. So I have another question with that. So when you hear the phrase good dad and engaged fathers, what does that mean to you?
So, for me, I feel like they are on the same coin, but slightly different. So you could be a good dad and not necessarily be fully engaged. I feel though an engaged dad is somebody who is constantly there, who is, for instance, and I keep bringing this back. My dad was very engaged. One of the ways he kept us out of trouble was we were always in sports. We were always in sports. He felt like the way you keep someone from doing, you know, first 48 things, illegal things, is by keeping them busy. So we were constantly, I was in football, I was in baseball, I was in basketball, everything, every single season we had a sport. And for that, he was driving us to them sports. He was at those practices. He was sitting there. He was watching us. That's an engaged dad. You could be a good father and not do any of those things and not even be there. You know, saying just, hey, I got money. I'm here. I provide you time when I have time. And it's possible for you. It's not even say that being a good dad and not being fully engaged is even a bad thing. Some people just, the time is not available for you. And you mentioned that your mom was a provider. It's totally possible for you to be a provider and a very good mom, a very good dad, and not be engaged. It's like, hey, mom, I'm on the soccer team. Okay, that's great. I got to go to work. See what I'm saying? Like, it's totally possible. Not even to make it seem like being engaged is better than being a good dad. It's just different. And it's totally possible for you to be both. Yeah. You can be a good dad and be fully engaged. So not to disparage either one. I feel though that for me, I would be an engaged dad. That's what I like. I want to empower whatever you want to do. Whatever my son wants to do, I will be there for you. Even if it's basketball or football, something that I like more so, I might be a little LeVar Ball. I might be real aggressive. Okay. But even if it's soccer or art or whatever that is, I'm going to be 100% engaged because I want to nurture that, because I feel like sometimes if we're not interested, then this, at least for me, if my parents weren't interested in what I was doing, then they were like, okay, you know, hey, dad, I drew this. Oh, all right, get on out of here. When's basketball practice?
You know? I'm glad you brought that up because, again, my ex has these hyper-masculine thoughts about things. And even one time before I presented the idea of my son being interested in dance, he automatically thought that I'm thinking like this ballerina or whatever it is. So then I posed the topic, what if he did want to do ballet? You know what I mean? So it's like you have these ideas versus I'm a little bit more liberal and say, okay, you can explore and
right.
You know, do certain things. But that's another way I'm just like, is he really going to have the freedom to be himself? Is his dad really going to allow him to fully engage and do those things? And even with the activities that my kids are in, his, you know, his dad has flippantly said, like, do that on your time. Like, yeah. And I'm just like, well, they're getting older, especially when football season stuff, like the games are on Saturdays, and I know you're supposed to get them Saturday, but, or you're supposed to get them Friday, but the, I mean, there's a game, so I'm paying $400 or $500 for them to participate.
Right.
They're not going to do a game every other Saturday. Like, yeah. They're going to be there every Saturday. Yeah. You're going to pick them up from the game.
Yeah. Maybe, matter of fact, I mean, you should want to go. You should want to go. You should love that. I would. I. My dad used to love it. My mom used to love it. My mom went too.
Yeah. So. It was always like a hit or miss. Sometimes he'll say, he'll come, and then sometimes he want to go ride. He in a motorcycle club, so he want to go ride his motorcycle. But even on the times that he came, like, he would go and get his chair and sit way away from me. So I would just roll up on him like, why can't we sit together? I don't want you. You don't want me. I think that they should see us together. In
as united front, together. Like, we're not together, but we together for you.
Yeah, it that would be there, like, even in those things. So I'm thinking about all these things. If you can't even sit with me at a game, or like when I'm picking my children up, the ex-wife like shut my door, and like I can't even come, you know, what's cool, you don't want me in your house, it's cool. But when he comes over to visit the kids, he sits on the porch, and I'm like, if you don't bring your ass in the house and like, I don't know what your wife told you, you couldn't come here. That's to me, why was you sitting on the porch? The kids, they have to know that, you know, they know something is off with that.
Right.
You know,
right.
That you have to sit on the, well, no, I don't have to, but you're choosing to sit on the porch to have, you know, to see them or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, now you want him to come over there? Like, no. What is that going to do? It's already divided.
Yeah. And, you know, it was always weird with the step parents anyway, especially when they have kids, like kids of similar ages than me, and you know, their attention to your child versus their child, that's messy.
Yeah.
It was messy. It with even now, because when my dad he's married to a lady who's younger than him, and I remember that she had kids and they were staying there, and she didn't like us, because all the attention my dad was paying to us, to his biological kids, that he wasn't paying to her kids who are not his kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, let me not be petty, because I was a grown man. I was a grown man when he got with her. So one, I don't like you because I don't like you. Not because you're with my dad, number one. But number two, you're not going to invite me to your house because you don't like all the attention he giving his own kids? They're not his damn kids. Not your kids. They're not your kids. You know, so I mean all that to say that is another dynamic to put into that. When you're going over there and you're like, how does his wife going to treat my child? And you know what I'm saying? When in that environment, like, I don't know. It seems like a lot of me.
Because we've even had birthdays, because birthdays are very, very special for me. Because I don't really celebrate holidays. But birthdays, that's my thing. And my kids, I have four, so we can't do birthday parties every year. So we know it's like certain ages, we have like this grandiose birthday party.
Yeah. Milestone and birthdays.
Yeah. So it's like one of those birthdays, and I'm inviting him and his wife to participate in, you know, having a party, trying to get him together. Like, what can we do together to make this a really great experience? And he told me like, well, we're going to do our own thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. So what are you all doing? You know, I'll come. And he was like, no one wants you there. But now you want me to have my son to come live with you? No. No. Ooh. You know, like, it was such a jab, a dig. I was mad. I ain't talked to him for like 2 months. I did not talk to him for 2 months. That hurt my feelings so bad. And I'm like, I don't know if that's coming from him or the wife, a combination of it. Yeah. So I'm thinking about all of these dynamics of it all. But then when I put, that's grown people stuff, right? Yeah. So I'm exactly. Like, let me go back to what is best for the child. And even something you mentioned earlier, the mom isn't always the best solution. I'm not going to say the best parent in this case, because we both parent. It's very different. He's there, you know, I'm here. Like, we are both parenting, but what's the best solution? Is it to send him with his dad because of it, or is it for us to work together so that he's getting more quality time and engaged time with the kids, which doesn't necessarily mean they have to be removed from the home to get that done.
Right. Right. I don't know. It's one of those scenarios that is not, there's no clear gray. This is the way you should do this. This works best. You know, when you factor in the, all these opinions, all these ideas, all the people, it's no one right way for anybody. And what worked for the next person, it may not work. It may not necessarily work for you. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and I'm just speculating, is that a trial run would be the best for everyone involved to say, hey, okay, you're going to do this for this amount of time and we're going to see. But I also feel like, and this COVID-19 thing is kind of messed stuff up, that doing it over the summer is almost too easy because not a whole lot of things being done. Like, I feel like you need to see what it's like on a day-to-day life every day with your son as he goes through his activities, as he goes through his homework, as he goes to school, so you can figure out what, hey, you know. And I feel like, and I'm not trying to give him out, but that if your ex-husband was like, hey, this is a lot, mm-hmm. you know, you need to be like, hey, if you find that this is a lot and that you want to send him back, it's good. It's all good. It's all good. Like, I need you to know that this is not a failure on your part if you find that this was a lot more than you bargained for. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All these things need to be kind of talked about, agreed on. It's so much. It's adulting so much.
Sucks. Adulting sucks. Being a divorced parent sucks. So I did. Okay, so this is what I proposed to him. I proposed to him, I said, well, let me figure out the rest of the school year when school is going to be over and everything for the kids, which is only probably like another 2 weeks. And typically all three of the kids will go for the summer. I said, but let's just start, you know, now, which I need to follow up with them. And he come over there by himself without the girls, and we'll do this until June.
Right.
Just so you can have some time, because that could be exactly what he needs right now. One, they miss you overall because they haven't seen you in months. They went from seeing you multiple times in a month to not seeing you for months. So maybe that will help remedy it. And then, you know, when June hits or whatever, then we'll make a decision about the girls coming. Or maybe the girls can come, you know, every other weekend. This way you can get some dedicated time with, you know, with your son. And he agreed to that. So I asked him, like, do you have a computer and all of that, so that he can do his schoolwork. The thing with my son, though, is so easy because he's so smart. I really think he should be tested for gifted, because he'll get up in the morning, get started at 9, 10, 15. He's done all his work, you know? So he just like, he chilling. But I'm like, Dad, I wish, like you said, it wasn't COVID. Because at one point, all the kids has braces. I was at the dentist's office every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I was going up to the school, PTA, football practice 3-4 times a week. And all that's the part that I wish that he can really get.
Yes. Yeah. You need to see their whole life, not just the summer life where it's like, hey, we get up, we go, we play, you know, ride up the street to the store and all that stuff. That's fun and fine, but that's not indicative of their actual life. This is a vacation. It's an extended vacation, basically.
Yeah. And I think the kids also feel that as well. So I'm going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call him today and say, hey, you better come get him. I did let him know. I'm just like, look, it's COVID. I ain't buying no clothes. So you got to get all that. Right. You know,
Right.
I sent them with a little salt, but you're going to have to do all of that and really experience this. And whatever y'all going to do, y'all going to do. But yeah, so I'm trying to be mature. It's hard.
Yeah. No, it is. It is hard. It's not an easy situation. It was never going to be an easy situation, but I feel like you're approaching it from a very mature place.
I hate it over here. I hate being the adult.
Yeah.
When I know that, but anyway, okay. That's a whole other Oprah show. All right. One last question here that I have. Mm-hmm. What are some things a mother should consider if faced with this situation before making a decision?
First and foremost, you need to understand your child, and you need to kind of find out where is this coming from? You know what I'm saying? I want to stay with my dad. Okay. Well, is it because you think it's just going to be one long party that you on your Eddie Murphy and it's just going to be party all the time? And you know, or are you trying to get away because you feel like I am too strict or too much of a disciplinarian? Mm-hmm. Or do you feel like there are some things that you are missing or some guy stuff, or it's just house full of estrogen? And that's not just for you. This is just for mothers in general, mm-hmm. you know. Or you feel like, you know, maybe you just might miss your dad. You need to talk to him. You need to sit down with your kid and talk to him. You also need to, you know, you also need to talk to your baby father and find out what exactly, how they feel about this idea, what are logistics, hey, how are we going to work this out, and also kind of talk about how you're doing things currently on a united front, so that he's not going over to you, you know, living with them and undermining everything that you've done over here. So he comes back home, that's not where my daddy did it. Okay, we did these things for a reason, you know. And you guys need to have a good conversation together. Like, hey, your son wants to stay with you. I want you to stay together. I think that father sometime for an extended period of time, it would be good. It would be good for each other, good for both of you guys. We should all hash this out together, you know what I'm saying? And find out and figure out when we're gonna do this and how we're gonna do this. So it's gonna require a lot of talking, a lot of pettiness may need to be aside. All of this is 100% predicated on your relationship with your baby father. The relationship prior to this may or may not dictate how well this is going to work out, how mature all of you guys are. Because, you know, you mentioned some pettiness and some animosity over other things. It's going to be hard to say, be the bigger person in this. And the whole time you're like, I really want to punch this dude in the face. You know, but you... both sides need to understand that we're not doing this because we like each other. We're doing it because we got a kid together, and it's for the betterment of them. And it's what he asked for, what they want, you know? So end of the day, we're doing this for the kid in hopes that they can grow from this and be functional adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. So ladies, you heard it. Just because you are the mom doesn't mean that you're the best solution, right? Yeah. I have to be intentional with saying solution, because when I first began thinking about this, I kept saying option.
Right.
That's not it. The option make it feel as though you're picking. It can make that child feel as though that they have to choose. But what is the best solution in the situation? And consider all of those factors that Country Boy just talked about.
Yeah.
It is tough. I've had to... let Petty LaBelle die within me to really get through this, and just asking for some grace to help me through. So I got some stuff to think about. I'll follow up with you.
Yeah, you gotta let me know what happens.
I have a follow up with you to let you know what we decided.
Okay.
How we are getting through. My son is fine. We have quite a bit of ways to go with this situation. So I'm sure that this is not the end all be all. Things are going to constantly change based on the need of the child. So,
right, of course.
This will be interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming in and joining me at the kitchen table to have this tough conversation. It's real. I'm telling my real life on this podcast. Like, we ain't making this up. What they say, it's not for play. It's real life. I'm trying to figure it out. My tagline is, we can't make this shit up. I can't make it up. And if I had to make it up, I sure enough would not have made this one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but thank you so much. But before
thank
we
you
leave,
me.
You tell everyone how to find you and your podcast.
All right. You can find The Cut on, we're on YouTube. We post videos every single Friday. We are on everywhere you check out your podcast. You like to listen to podcasts. So that's all the major platforms. We also release videos every single Friday. Since this COVID-19 thing has been popping off, we got videos and podcasts for days because we going live almost every single day. So check us out, enjoy us. If you're interested, hey, we go live on Twitter and Facebook and Periscope on Saturdays at 3. So you can check us out and find out if this is what you like. If you like this, you can miss all the other 52 episodes. All right.
Very fun podcast. I tell them every time I listen, somebody pisses me off. I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
Here they go again. I'm about to who gonna piss me off today?
It's always somebody.
I love it.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Moms and Martinis. We can make it if we try. Just me and you.
Against the world. Building castles in the sky.